The following message was delivered by Randy Vild. Mr. Vild is a dedicated servant of God's work and a passionate advocate of his kingdom. And now, Randy Vild.
The Apostle John from the island of Patmos knew as a son of God that the called out ones would one day sit on thrones. Revelation 5 verse 10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The scriptures are saying that we are going to occupy positions of great authority. It was promised to Abraham. It was promised to King David. So those who have the greatest power in the universe inside them, what are we now? Are we just a speck, a piece of dust on the ground? Do we have any administrative authority? The Bible says we are ambassadors to God's kingdom. This is what we swore allegiance to when we were baptized. Paul called himself an ambassador. Read it with me in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As we know through the scriptures, the Apostle Paul did not hold back. Maybe that is why the Jews from Antioch and Iconium stoned him. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 18. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Now, brethren, why are we ambassadors of God? In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, the Apostle Paul writes, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Having our citizenship in the kingdom of God, by definition, makes us aliens in this physical country in which we live. Like ambassadors of a foreign government, we cannot participate in the politics of another country, a practice that would distract us from our real spiritual goal. God has called us out of this world, just like the Israelites back in Egypt. We were set free, called to be ambassadors. Colossians 1 and verse 13, again the Apostle Paul writes, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Everyone listening to this message has trials. And Satan knows we have weaknesses. If he doesn't know all of them, I'm sure he has agents working on finding out as much information as he can, for he wants to destroy, yes, destroy the future kings and priests of God's government. This great deceiver understands that God has called the weak of the world and has drawn them out of the world for a great high calling. John 15, in verse 19, "If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." We are ambassadors of God. Do we have what it takes to be ambassadors of God? Do any of us know what an ambassador is supposed to do in the first place? How should an ambassador behave? Now, most of us know what an ambassador is. It's an authorized messenger, a representative, a diplomatic official of the highest rank. I'll give you an example. We see many ambassadors representing their countries in the circle of the United Nations. It's like that renowned seating of the round table where the knights of the highest ranks would gather and sit around King Arthur. The United Nations. Wow, what a job these ambassadors have. One person, one individual, to represent an entire country. Now, do you think that a country would just send any random Joe Schmo? Absolutely not. They would want this individual to represent them in the highest regard. The ambassadors of this great nation in which we live, the United States of America, are picked, hand-picked by the U.S. President. Then they must be approved by the Senate. All ambassadors of any nation are carefully picked and chosen by their chief executives. I ask you a question today. Who is our chief executive? God. He has chosen us, hand-selected us out of billions. According to the book of Jeremiah, we were hand-selected before we even existed in our mother's womb. Now, who are we? We are ambassadors to the great God of the universe. Shirley Temple, she was the first child to ever win an Academy Award back in 1935. Later, when she grew up, she married a gentleman named Charles Black. At her wedding is when she invented the color Temple Blue. Some of you might recall this color looking through some Crayola crayons. She then had two children. In 1974, Shirley Temple Black soon served as the U.S. ambassador to Ghana in Africa for 2 years. This was under the Carter administration. She was blamed for U.S. problems because, as a mother, she was considered to be responsible for raising the Americans that were blamed around the world. See, in African culture, the mother is responsible for the moral values of the children. The church, brethren, is the mother of us all. The church is responsible as well. That is why Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my sheep," in John 21. The church is responsible for nurturing us. Now, we have a choice to feed and grow. Now, what if an ambassador becomes corrupt? Ambassadors have what it's called diplomatic immunity from the laws of the land where they go. However, their credentials can be removed and they are kicked back to their original nation if they are corrupt. In the case of God's kingdom, this is a very sobering thought. This is why everything we do has to be focused on the mission that God gave us. Everything in our life has to reflect that kingdom. We are ambassadors to God. In the treatment of others, do unto others what you would want done unto you. It's the golden rule. Luke chapter 6, verse 31. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them likewise. What would you want others to do for you? Would you want them to pray for you? That would be nice. Would you want them to forgive you? Would you want them to show you respect? A true ambassador of God meditates on this. Now the world says, "You forgive me and I'll forgive you." In other words, what is in it for me? Me, the great I am. See, this is mankind speaking. This is not how we operate, or how we should operate. How does the world solve their conflict? Actually, with more conflict. It's called counterstrike. As the Apostle Paul said in Romans, "Do not do this. Do not fight evil with evil, but rather fight evil with good." Man wants to do it their own way. We found that out in the Garden of Eden. Imagine you're a leader of a country and a once allied country is turning against you and strife is building up. Soon it could mean war. You send your most loyal ambassador to help solve the problem. But your ambassador decides to go against your instructions and to rather do what he thinks is best in his own eyes. This could lead to destruction, the destruction of your country. We must not look towards our own agendas. We have done this before. So what are we supposed to do? Who do we look towards for instructions? Psalm 123 and verse 1. "Unto thee lift I up mine eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." How do we as ambassadors relate to others? Every second counts. When we go to the mall, the theater, even 7-Eleven, do we have a shield in front of our face and march through people like they're not even there? Are we a respecter of persons? Don't fool yourself. Do we jam-pack our day with too many things on our to-do list that we have an excuse every single time not to help someone in need? I'm personally guilty of this. I once heard someone that said they helped someone on the side of a road that simply ran out of gas. So I said to myself, next time I see someone on the side of the road, broken down, ran out of gas, whatever the situation, if they're in need, I'm going to stop and help them. I found myself passing car after car as the days went on because I was so busy. I did not have time to help these people. I'm not saying you have to go and help every single person on the side of the road. But what I am saying is, do we jam-pack our day with so much stuff on our to-do list that we make it impossible to exercise God's love that's within us, that's a part of us? We're so quick to respond that we believe in God. But do we truly exercise this great power that's within us? How do we reflect the kingdom to our fellow brethren of the church and our family? Is virtue in our kids? God says, train up a child in the way he should go. He says, bring up the kids in the nurture of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 4, God instructs us parents to teach God's perfect law unto our children. Do we? He says that we should teach them when they wake up in the morning to when they go to bed at night. Does that mean just read to them? No. It means we live it. We are living proof that a God exists. We are representing that kingdom. When our children look upon us, they should see God in our life. You cannot fool your children. They will figure you out. We are responsible for our children, and a great responsibility that is. Inspire virtues, be honest, have a life full of integrity, live it and teach it. Is God real to our children? What do we do that really lets your light shine? Now, Satan is after our spiritual throats because he knows who God's ambassadors are. Jesus Christ did not stop being an ambassador to his kingdom, never, not for one second. He did not stop when he was being persecuted. He did not stop when he was being spit upon. And he most definitely did not stop when he was being tortured. He was committed to being a perfect representative of God. Jesus Christ was a giver. An ambassador is a giver. Because God's system that is represented in His kingdom is all about giving, sharing, loving, nurturing. Remember who we are. The reason we mess up all the time is that we forget who we are. What are we? We are ambassadors to the greatest kingdom that exists. And that kingdom will last forever and ever. And it will keep producing and producing good fruit. For God has freed us from the chains of darkness. Then He has whispered His secrets in our ears, telling us why we were made and who we are. With that, do you know how much power is in this room? I'm truly honored to be amongst ambassadors of the Most High.